This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 12th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
President Trump continues his push against NATO allies in Brussels.
Prime Minister Theresa May publishes her Brexit plan.
Global stocks and commodities recover from yesterday's sell-off.
Wall Street's biggest banks weigh on the economic effects of the brewing trade war.
He complained about his prison conditions before a judge, but it backfired big time for Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, what's better than a 3-0 Mets shutout? How about a 9-0 Yankees shutout? And the World Cup final is set.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global equities are advancing this morning after yesterday's bruising sell-off at a 601 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 147. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.33%. FTSE 100 up almost 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 55 cents to $70.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 60 cents to $12.45 an ounce. The euro, $1.1675. The yen, 112.43. Bob.
Day two of an unsettled NATO summit underway in Brussels. That's where we find Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern, who joins us now with the latest from the meeting. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Leaders are holding an unplanned emergency session at the NATO headquarters in Brussels. It's an unexpected twist, and it's said to be about burden sharing and the alliance's budget. One official said the meeting takes place against the backdrop of President Trump threatening allies to, quote, go it alone unless they agree to increase their defense budget immediately. White House spokesman was not immediately available to comment, but Trump earlier today was attacking Germany and others on Twitter for not paying their fair share. Right now, only 8 members of the alliance are paying the 2% defense spending target. He's pushing for even more, saying 4% should be the target. From NATO in Brussels, I'm Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Anne-Marie, thank you. We head from Brussels to London now, the next stop on President Trump's European trip, where Prime Minister Theresa May publishes her Brexit plan in a so-called white paper today. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Well, we expect that report to be published shortly. It is expected to include plans to strike new trade deals for services, but not goods. That's according to a government briefing on the white paper. That freedom for Britain to devise its own rules on the service sector, which accounts for 4/5 of the economy, is a prize for the Brexiteers, but comes at the cost of a free trade area for goods with the EU. And striking those trade deals and services will be a challenge. Those agreements are a rarity in world trade at the moment, so this would be breaking new ground. We'll be looking for answers on everything from the plan for the Irish border to the role of the European Court of Justice. Live from London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. We're seeing equities around the world recovering some of yesterday's losses. Commodities also gaining after yesterday's broad-based sell-off. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Harvey reports.
The Bloomberg Commodity Index is clawing back some of the losses today. We're seeing gains led by nickel, Brent, wheat, copper is also advancing after getting clobbered yesterday. And Goldman Sachs has come out and cut its forecast for some metals, specifically cut its 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month copper forecast. But it has stuck with this mindset that the sell-off is pretty aggressive and a bit overdone, and has maintained a positive longer-term view that metals recovery will come in time.
Commodities plunged yesterday amid uncertainty about how the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China will affect demand.
Some of Wall Street's biggest banks are weighing in on how the trade war may affect growth. Economists at Morgan Stanley say tariffs could shave anywhere from 3 to 4 tenths of a percentage point off U.S. GDP. Their peers at Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan say the brewing trade war could cut growth in China by 2 to 3 tenths of a percent.
Bond traders now betting that a rate cut is just as likely as a hike in 2020. The spread between December 2019 and December 2020 euro-dollar contracts fell below zero yesterday for the first time. That suggests short-end traders don't expect the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates at all after next year.
Let's look at some corporate deals now. Comcast is boosting its offer for Sky to $34 billion. The bid tops an offer from Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox and escalates a global standoff between the media companies. Bloomberg's Anushka Sakui has more.
By increasing its offer for Sky, does that mean now that it's just going to put its chips behind that offer and maybe let those other assets from Fox, like the Fox studio, go to Disney? That's what investors are going to be asking themselves. It puts the ball back in Rupert Murdoch's court, and really it's going to come down to strategy if they think that Comcast will just settle on Sky.
Both Comcast and Disney have been vying to acquire the entertainment assets of Fox, and that bidding war in turn affects the fight between Comcast and Fox to acquire Sky.
Broadcom has agreed to buy CA Technologies for $18.9 billion. The acquisition gives the chipmaker a chance to diversify its business with a push into corporate software. Broadcom is paying a 20% premium to CA's closing price yesterday and plans to complete the deal in the fourth quarter. Broadcom shares down more than 7% in early trading.
BMW will become the first foreign automaker to own a majority in a Chinese joint venture. Sources tell Bloomberg that BMW plans to unveil the new ownership structure soon. The German automaker now holds 50% of the venture with Brilliance China Automotive.
And the founder of Papa John's Pizza has resigned as chairman after making racist comments. The departure of John Schnatter comes 7 months after he left the CEO role for critical comments about the NFL's national anthem dispute. Papa John says it will appoint a new chairman in the coming weeks.
Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 12 and a half points. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures up 30. DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.33%. FTSE 100 up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 0.32. Yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 59 cents to $70.97 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 30 cents to $12.44.70. Announce the euro $1.1678 and the yen 112.43. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Now here's Michael Barr for what else is going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A federal judge is ordering Paul Manafort to be transferred from his VIP digs at a jail in Warsaw, Virginia. The move comes after President Trump's former campaign chairman spent weeks arguing he could not prepare for his trial this month because of the prison's conditions. Meanwhile, special counsel Robert Mueller argued that jurors who will weigh whether Manafort illegally lobbied for Ukraine should also hear about Manafort's work 3 decades ago for Saudi Arabia and other nations. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is calling on Democrats to join Republicans in confirming President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Speaking to reporters after meeting with Kavanaugh, Graham said that elections had consequences and that those included repealing programs started under President Obama.
The court upheld Obamacare, but it will be challenged anew. And that Judge Kavanaugh, I hope, will listen to the challenge.
Democrats have said that they would fight against Kavanaugh's confirmation. The disease in New York City is spreading, according to Legionnaire's disease. It has taken place, according to officials, in Upper Manhattan. The Legionnaire's outbreak is also reported in parts of New Jersey. More conservatives are getting behind a federal paid family leave program, long a priority of Democrats. Ivanka Trump has been making a push for a 6-week parental leave program. The Senate Finance Committee held a hearing on the legislation. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York is one of the senators who proposed the legislation.
The Family Act covers all workers, which I think is really important for all these debates that we have. It's not just about women. It's not just about new babies. All of us have family emergencies.
Republican Joni Ernst of Iowa also co-sponsored the measure. An FBI agent removed from special counsel Robert Mueller's team because of text messages critical of President Donald Trump is testifying publicly for the first time. Peter Strzok is set to appear today before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. In baseball, the Yankees shut out the Orioles 9-0. The Mets won along with the Red Sox, Giants, and A's. The Nationals lost. In the World Cup, Croatia eliminated England 2-1 to advance to the final to face France. And the Television Academy will announce later this morning its list of this year's Emmy nominees. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:10 on Wall Street, and we want to let you know that we are awaiting a news conference by President Trump at that NATO meeting in Brussels, and we will be bringing that to you live as it develops. Right now, reporters are gathering, and we are waiting to see President Trump. This comes after an unexpected twist in Brussels, NATO leaders holding an unplanned emergency session on the last day of their two-day summit, which has been upended by President Trump's attacks on allies over defense spending. One EU diplomat with knowledge of the meeting said that it was a make-or-break moment. And earlier, we had had word from German media that the president was threatening to withdraw from NATO. That's according to German news agency DPA, which said the president threatened to pull the U.S. out of NATO if its allies don't immediately increase defense spending. While we await the president's news conference this morning, let's go to an interview now with George Ferguson, senior analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. And he is set to talk to us about Delta Airlines earnings. George, good morning. Welcome. So let me ask you, the price of oil has been going up, energy prices going higher. Is that likely to affect earnings at all?
Yeah, it's definitely going to affect earnings. And good morning as well. The big challenge, I think, for airlines will be, can they raise fares enough to cover that increased cost of fuel? We know that they're not going to. Their guidance indicates they're not going to be able to raise it enough, and so we expect lower earnings this quarter. The question is, just how short will they fall? One of the challenges is yesterday we saw American Airlines warned that their that the guidance they had provided on an increase in revenues was too high, so they cut their guidance. So we really expect it'll be a bit of a rough earnings season here. It's sort of affected the stocks yesterday. Because they're not able to raise fares. Tell me, if ticket prices all the time, and I hear some crazy numbers out there. I think if you want to fly to Europe, I think there's a lot of competition across the Atlantic this summer from low cost long haul. You can't book short term. You got to be looking out a little longer. But I think there's a lot of good competition there. A lot of competition in the domestic market. That's where American warned yesterday. So if you're a consumer, it's go out and fly somewhere. I think you can get a pretty good deal right now.
George Ferguson is senior analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, speaking to us on those Delta earnings expected today. And again, we want to remind you that we are awaiting a news conference in Brussels by President Donald Trump at that NATO meeting. This after NATO, in an unexpected twist, held an unplanned emergency session on the last day of this two-day summit under pressure from President Trump on defense spending. Again, we will be bringing that news conference to you live as it develops. And we're also looking at possible remarks from the NATO Secretary General on the future of NATO. And let's go to Karen Moscow now for some market updates.
All right, Bob, thank you. U.S. futures and European equities, they're advancing this morning. This is after yesterday's bruising sell-off. Stocks also gained in Asia, with China's Shanghai Composite rising more than 2%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from our Singapore bureau.
Chinese stocks outperformed, with the CSI 300 recouping Wednesday's losses. The offshore yuan paired an overnight loss, though remained past a key level against the greenback that had prompted verbal intervention from the central bank just last week. ZTE shares listed in Hong Kong and China rallied after the company inked an agreement with the Trump administration to allow it to resume doing business with American suppliers. The overall appetite for more risk in the region saw the yen fall to a six-month low against the dollar, the Nikkei closing higher by over 1% to 22,187 points in Tokyo. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Bob Moon, we go straight to you.
And President Trump is now speaking in Brussels. Let's listen in.
And we really accomplished a lot with respect to NATO. For years, presidents have been coming to these meetings and talked about the expense, the tremendous expense for the United States, and tremendous progress has been made. Everyone's agreed to substantially up their commitment. They're going to up it at levels that they've never thought of before. Prior to last year, where I attended my first meeting, it was going down. The amount of money being spent by countries was going down and down very substantially. And now it's going up very substantially, and commitments were made. Only 5 of 29 countries were making their commitment, and that's now changed. The commitment was at 2%. Ultimately, that'll be going up quite a bit higher than that. So we are we made a tremendous amount of progress today. It's been about, at a minimum, they estimate, and they're going to be giving you exact numbers. But since last year, they've raised an additional $33 billion. That's been put up by the various countries, not including the United States. And the United States' commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong, but primarily because everyone, the spirit they have, the amount of money they're willing to spend, the additional money that they will be putting up, has been really, really amazing to see it. To see the level of spirit in that room is incredible. And I hope that we're going to be able to get along with Russia. I think that we probably will be able to. The people in the room think so, but they really stepped up their commitment and stepped it up like they never have before. So we took in an additional 33. The number could actually be higher than 40 when they give you the final number. The Secretary General Stoltenberg will be giving those numbers sometime today, probably in his concluding press statement, but we are doing numbers like they've never done before or ever seen before, and you'll be seeing that, and I guess you'll be hearing that a little bit later. Okay, we have our Secretary of State, as you know, and we have John is here, so if you have any questions for the three of us, Mike Pompeo just got back from a third trip, as you know, to North Korea. He's become a true expert on the trips to North Korea, the best way to get there, the best way to get out. And he gets along very well, and he's doing a great job over there. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Yes.
President Tarek Akhali from BBC, can you tell us whether or not you warned people that the U.S. would pull out of NATO if they weren't meeting their spending goals?
I told people that I'd be very unhappy if they didn't up their commitments very substantially, because the United States has been paying a tremendous amount, probably 90% of the cost of NATO. And now people are going to start, and countries are going to start upping their commitments. So I let them know yesterday, actually. I was surprised that you didn't pick it up. It took till today. But yesterday, I let them know that I was extremely unhappy with what was happening, and they have substantially upped their commitment. Yeah. And now we're very happy, and have a very, very powerful, very, very strong NATO, much stronger than it was 2 days ago. Yes, ma'am. Yes, hi. How are you? I know you're very famous on television.
Again, about, did you ever at any point say that the U.S., though, might stop engaging with NATO? And do you think that your rhetoric helps NATO cohesion, or are you worried that people
Well, they were probably worried because the United States was not being treated fairly, but now we are because the commitment has been up so much. So now they are. And I was very firm yesterday. You have to understand, I know a lot of the people in the room. I was here last year. I let them know last year in a less firm manner, but pretty firm, and they raised an additional $33 billion. I think going to $40 billion, but it's $33 billion as of today. And then today and yesterday, I was probably a little bit more firm. But I believe in NATO. I think NATO is a very important, probably the greatest ever done. But the United States was paying for anywhere from 70 to 90% of it, depending on the way you calculate. That's not fair to the United States. In addition to that, as you know, we're in negotiations with the EU, and we're going to be meeting with them next week. We've been treated very unfairly on trade. Our farmers have been shut out of the European Union. Now, you could say they're different, but basically, to a large extent, they're the same countries. So I think we're going to be ultimately treated fairly on trade. We'll see what happens. But I can tell you that NATO now is really a fine-tuned machine. People are paying money that they never paid before. They're happy to do it. And the United States is being treated much more fairly. Yes, sir.
NewsHour, did you win any concessions in your meeting and discussions with the German chancellor when it comes to German defense spending and also this issue of purchasing energy from Russia? And secondly, what would you say to your critics that say by creating this scene here at NATO, you're only enabling President Putin in Russia to further disturb things in Ukraine and Georgia?
Well, if you consider putting up tremendously the additional funds at a level that nobody's ever seen before, I don't think that's helping Russia. I think that
totally controlled by Russia. Do you feel like that's an effective way to conduct diplomacy? And secondly, would you be able to be a little bit more specific about the commitments that you secured today with regards to increasing financial commitment? Is there an updated timeline? Are there specific countries you could cite? Because a majority of them are already planning to meet that 2% threshold by 2024.
No, many of them. In fact, Germany was going to be in the year 2028 or 30. I think it's a very effective way to deal, but I didn't deal exactly the way you said. I have great respect for Germany. My father's from Germany. Both of my parents are from the EU, despite the fact they don't treat us well on trade, but I think that'll change also. And I think we'll see that because on the 25th of July, they're coming in to start negotiations with me. We'll see. And if they don't negotiate in good faith, we'll do something having to do with all of the millions of cars that are coming into our country and being taxed at a virtually zero level, at a very low level. But, Jeremy, I think it's been a very effective way of negotiating. But I'm not negotiating. I just want fairness for the United States. We're paying for far too much of NATO. NATO is very important. But NATO is helping Europe more than it's helping us. At the same time, it's very good for us. So we have now got it to a point where people are paying a lot more money, and that's starting really last year. It really had, as you were there last year, and last year we had a big impact. Again, we took in $33 billion more, and if you ask Secretary General Stoltenberg, he gives us total credit, meaning me, I guess, in this case, total credit, because I said it was unfair. Now, what has happened is presidents over many years, from Ronald Reagan to Barack Obama, they came in, they said, okay, hey, do the best you can, and they left. Nobody did anything about it. And it got to a point where the United States was paying for 90% of NATO. And that's not fair. So it's changed. We had a really good meeting today. We had a great meeting in terms of getting along. I know most of the people in the room because of last year, because of the year and a half that we've been in office, year and a half plus. But we have a great relationship. Everybody in that room, by the time we left, got along and they agreed to pay more and they agreed to pay it more quickly. Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Mr. President, Philip Rucker from The Washington Post. You tweeted yesterday, what good is NATO? And you've talked about NATO as an alliance that benefits Europe, that defends and protects Europe. Do you see any value of NATO to the United States vis-a-vis Russia? Does it help protect the United States from Russia, in your view?
I think it's another very strong ally, as together it's much stronger than, obviously, individual countries. I think it's the way we have it now. I think it's a much – I think NATO got – you know what was happening with spending prior to my getting into office. The numbers were going down. Now the numbers have gone up like a rocket ship. The numbers have gone up a lot, and they've gone up rapidly, and they're now going up further. So I think NATO is going to be very, very effective. I'm very impressed with and really know, and he's a friend of mine. But Secretary General Stoltenberg has done a fantastic job in putting it all together. And we were the ones that really, we gave him an extension of his contract, as you know. I think he's done a really good job. I think that when I was saying that, I am very concerned with the pipeline. I don't like the pipeline. And when I talk about NATO, I say, how do you have NATO? And then you have somebody paying the people that you're protecting against. But maybe we'll get along with the group that we're protecting against. I think that's a real possibility. As you know, I'm meeting with President Putin on Monday, and I think we go into that meeting not looking for so much. We want to find out about Syria. We will, of course, ask your favorite question about meddling. I will be asking that question again. But we'll also be talking about other things. We'll be talking about Ukraine. Ukraine was here today, by the way. And You know, it's very interesting to hear what they had to say. So, excuse me? Well, he may. I mean, look, he may. You know, what am I going to do? If he may deny it. I mean, it's one of those things. So all I can do is say, did you, and don't do it again. But he may deny. I mean, well, you'll be the first to know. Okay? Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Mr. President, Robert Wall with the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
If the Germans and the Canadians and others don't come up to 2%, what is your fallback position? How will you up the pressure to make them actually?
Well, they will. They will. I have no doubt about it. They all made commitments, and they will be up to 2%. It'll be over a period, a relatively short period of years. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Yes, go ahead.
Joe Gentile, Politico News. Mr. President, what do you think today needs or not Georgia more support from NATO? And I want to ask about
Georgia? They were here today representing. You know.
Yes, and will you talk about Georgia in a meeting with with the President Putin?
Well, they were here. They made a very favorable impression, and we listened to their plight. It's a tough situation with Georgia, but they made a very favorable impression in the room. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. Go.
One more.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you really did. Come on. Go ahead.
Well, I had a question as well, but nonetheless, I'll ask her. Will you recognize?
Go ahead.
Will you recognize Russia's annex? Will you recognize Crimea as part of Russia when you meet?
Oh,
President?
That's an interesting question because you know, long before I got here, President Obama allowed that to happen. That was on his watch, not on my watch. You know, people like to say, "Oh, Crimea," but the fact is, they built bridges to Crimea. They just opened a big bridge that was started years ago. They built, I think, a submarine port, substantially added billions of dollars. So that was on Barack Obama's watch. That was not on Trump's watch. Would I have allowed it to happen? No, I would not have allowed it to happen. But he did allow it to happen. So that was his determination. What will happen with Crimea from this point on? That I can't tell you. But I'm not happy about Crimea. But again, that was Barack Obama's watch, not Trump's watch. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Jeff Mason from Reuters, sure. Mr. President.
I know Jeff.
Regarding your summit with President Putin, will you be raising arms control issues? Would you like
yes.
to extend New START? And will you raise concerns about violations of the INF Treaty?
Yes.
And as a follow-up to the NATO meeting today, will you suggest to him or would you consider stopping military exercises in the Baltic states if that's something that he requests?
Well, perhaps we'll talk about that. But I will say that we are going to be talking about those three issues and many more. We'll be talking about it, Jeff. Okay? Go ahead.
Ivo Caizzi, Corriere della Sera. We are in the NATO headquarters that costed almost the double as planned before. I would like to know if you are planning to guarantee the taxpayers that the new money that is flowing into NATO will be spent in the best possible way, especially the money coming from countries that have several problems with the public finances.
Well, the money will be spent properly. And one of the things that we have many wealthy countries with us today, but we have some that aren't so wealthy. And they did ask me if they could buy the military equipment. And could I help them out? And we will help them out a little bit. We're not going to finance it for them, but we'll make sure that they're able to get payments and various other things so they can buy. Because the United States makes by far the best military equipment in the world, the best jets, the best missiles, the best guns, the best everything. We make by far. I mean, that's one thing. I guess I assumed it prior to taking office, but I really learned since being president, our equipment is so much better than anybody else's equipment. When you look at our companies, Lockheed and Boeing and Grumman, what the material, the equipment that we make is so far superior. Everybody wants to buy our equipment. In fact, it's a question, can they make it? Because they are doing very well. Can they make it for so many people? So we are helping some of those countries get online and buy the best equipment. Go ahead.
I'm Kristen Brown with Fox News. On your upcoming summit with President Putin, did any of your allies here express any specific concerns or talk to you about any messages that they'd like you to take with you when you go to the summit?
Yeah, just the opposite of concern. They actually, and they'll probably come out with a little bit of an edict, but they actually thanked me for meeting with President Putin. I look forward to the meeting. They thanked me. They thought it was a great thing that I was doing it, and they gave us our best wishes or their best wishes. Now, with that being said, we'll see what happens. Just a loose meeting. It's not going to be big schedule. I don't think it should take a very long period of time. And we'll see where it leads. But it could lead to productive, something very productive. And maybe it's not. But I think meeting with people is great. We had a great meeting with Chairman Kim. And I'll tell you, Mike Pompeo did a fantastic job. I might ask you to say a few words, Mike, while you're here. Just one second. Mike, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I did. I returned, actually came straight from North Korea with a couple of stops here to Brussels. We had a productive conversation. There remains a great deal of work to do. But I think most importantly, my counterpart, Kim Jong-chol, made a commitment consistent with what President Trump was able to achieve with Chairman Kim, which was they intend to denuclearize, they're going to accomplish it, and now the task is to get it implemented.
I think just to finish on that, you know, it's so important. That was an amazing, really an amazing meeting, I thought. And I really think that we established very good relationships. We'll see where it all lands. But there have been no missile tests. There have been no research. They have blown up a site. I hear they're blowing up another site, missile site. They've taken down all of the propaganda. In fact, somebody said there's no more music playing at the borderline. You know, the music was going on for many years. They said recently that, wow, there's no more of the heavy music and the propaganda. They've done a lot of things. And we got back our three hostages. So it's a good process. But the main thing is there have been no rocket launches. There have been no missile tests. There's been no nuclear tests, no explosions, no nothing for almost 9 months. Okay. Yeah, please. Sure.
Ewan McCaskill from The Guardian. Your trip to the UK.
That was the one state that Ronald Reagan didn't win when he ran the board. His second time, he didn't win Wisconsin, and we won Wisconsin. So, you know, we had a great night. Protests, there might be protests, but I believe that the people in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, as you know, I have property in Ireland, I have property all over. I think that those people, they like me a lot, and they agree with me on immigration. And I think that's why you have Brexit in the first place, because of immigration. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead.
Greta Karvala from Finland. What would be the best deal with Putin when you come to Helsinki? And don't you think that your harsh diplomacy that you are playing to the same goal that Putin with your harsh diplomacy towards EU and NATO?
Well, I can't tell you what would be the ultimate. What would be the ultimate? Well, let's see. No more nuclear weapons anywhere in the world would be the ultimate, okay? No more wars, no more problems, no more conflict. Let's find a cure to every disease known to mankind or womankind. That would be my ultimate, okay? And we'll start from there. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Me. There's Mahjuba Nawruzi from Afghan Service in BBC World Service. So I would like to ask you, Mr. President, that Afghan President is going to be here.
He's here right now.
Yeah, no, he is here. And are you going to meet him? And what have you got to say to him?
Ghani.
And when the war is going to end in Afghanistan? Because people are fed up now and they want to know.
I agree with that. I very much agree. It's been going on for a long time. We've made a lot of progress, but it's been going on for a long time. We've made a lot of progress in Afghanistan, I will say. Yes, your president is here right now. In fact, he's in the room. When I'm finished with this, I'm going right back into that room.
Please. Georgian Public Broadcaster. Mr. President, can you tell us what do you think about future membership of Georgia in NATO, please?
Well, at a certain point, they'll have a chance. Not right now. They just left the room. But at a certain point, they'll have a chance. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Barza Hassan, reporter for Kurdistan 24. Are you going to continue to support the Kurdish forces, Peshmerga, in Iraq? Thank you.
I think the Kurds are great people. They're incredible fighters. They're wonderful, warm, intelligent allies in many cases. As you know, it's different groups of people, but they're great people. I do. I believe they're great people. Yes, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, Marcus Price, working with ARD German TV.
Yes.
You said Putin isn't an enemy, isn't a friend, it's just a competitor.
A competitor.
Do you consider him as a security threat for Europe or to the U.S.? Thank you.
Hey, I don't want them to be, and that's, I guess, why we have NATO. And that's why we have a United States that just had the largest military budget ever, $700 billion approved, $716 billion next year. No, I hope that we'll be able to get along. I've said from day one, whether it's China or Russia, you know, we're working on trade with China right now. And I don't say that's an easy situation, because that's been years of abuse of the United States by presidents, frankly, that allowed that to happen. So I've taken over a lot of bad hands, and I'm fixing each one of them, and I'm fixing them well. But China is going to be, I think, very successfully, ultimately taken care of. I have a great respect for their president, as you know. President Xi spent 2 days there. It was among the most magical 2 days I've ever lived. And I think we're going to end up doing something very good with China. Right now, we're in a pretty nasty trade battle, but I think ultimately that'll work out. I really think we have a big advantage. You know, we picked up $8 trillion in value and worth since I became president, and we're close to 2 times the size of China. A lot of people don't know that. And, you know, we're going to negotiate a fair deal if that's possible. Okay. And Russia, I think getting along with Russia also would be a very good thing. Yes, go ahead.
Jamal Mousavi from BBC Persian TV. We have seen escalation of tension between you and the Iranians. What is your exit plan, Mr. President?
I would say there might be an escalation between us and the Iranians.
They are threatening...
By the way, they're treating us with much more respect right now than they did in the past. And I think, I know they're having a lot of problems and their economy is collapsing. But I will tell you this, at a certain point, they're going to call me and they're going to say, let's make a deal. And we'll make a deal. But they're feeling a lot of pain right now. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mr. President, do we expect the rise of the Russian influence in Macedonia following the starting of negotiation process like we've seen in Montenegro with alleged coup? And what will NATO and United States do to counter that Russian influence in the Western Balkans?
We never talk about our future plans. Yes, go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much. My name is Ala Shali from Radar TV from Kurdistan, Iraq. My question is about the government of Iraq. You know, after 2 months election, the government in Iraq has not been formed. What's the role from USA? And you want to talk about Syria in with President Putin. Can I have any information about Kurds in Syria? Thank you very much.
So I hope we get along well with Iraq. We've certainly spent a great fortune in Iraq and many, many lives, thousands and hundreds of thousands of lives, if you think, on both sides, which I always think about both sides, not just our side. And they had an election, and I hope we're going to be able to get along, and we'll see how that goes. We've already been talking to the people that won the election. I was not in favor of that war. I was very much against that war. I never thought it was a good thing, but that's another deck of cards that I inherited, and we'll do the best we can with it. I think the election was pretty conclusive, and again, we've spoken to them. We'll see what happens. Yes, sir, go ahead.
To the next event, we have time for one more question.
Good.
I'm Asya Atrous from Asabah newspaper in Tunisia. I come from a very far country, a small country in northern Africa, Tunisia. My question, Mr. President, we really admire what you are doing in North Africa, and we really wish and hope that something again will be done in the Middle East to avoid people more wars and more blood and more killings in the Middle East with a just peace process that gives everyone its...
We're looking for peace, and Africa, as you know, it's on our very strong list. But we're looking for peace. We want peace all over. We want to solve problems. We're looking for peace. Africa right now has got problems like few people would even understand. They have things going on there that nobody could believe in this room. If you saw some of the things that I see through intelligence, what's going on in Africa, it is so sad and so vicious and violent. And we want peace. We want peace for Africa. We want peace all over the world. That's my number one goal, peace all over the world. And we're building up a tremendous military because I really believe through strength you get peace. But we're going to have a military like we've never had before. We've given out orders for you know, the best fighter jets in the world, the best ships, the best everything. But hopefully we'll never have to use them. That would be a dream. To buy the best stuff, to have the best stuff, to have the best equipment in the world, and to never have to use it would be a really great part of my dream. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. I'm going to be going, leaving in about a half an hour. Thank you.
President Trump speaking to reporters as he caps that NATO meeting in Brussels, hailing what he called a tremendous amount of progress on his demand for higher defense spending from NATO members, what he called burden sharing. Other nations made commitments to increase their share of defense spending substantially, he said, at a much faster clip, up to the level of a 2% increase in defense spending. Right now, I'd like to turn to our Brussels bureau chief, Nikos Chrysaloras, who is on the line with us. Good morning. And let me just ask you, the president said that everybody was very happy leaving this meeting. Have we had a sense of how the other NATO members feel about what President Trump was pushing them for?
We definitely didn't get the sense that everyone left very, very happy from this meeting. It was rather turbulent. After a rather uneventful meeting on defense spending last night, President Trump tweeted that NATO allies shouldn't just reach the level of 2% of their GDP in defense spending by 2024. That's the commitment that we have since the Obama years, but immediately, without saying what will happen if they don't. And this morning, the allies held an emergency meeting on defense spending again, during which, according to several sources, President Trump threatened to go it alone if they don't increase their military spending to 2% of their economic output. That's, you know, an unprecedented threat. So definitely it wasn't a happy meeting or a relaxed meeting. The president himself, during his press conference, he didn't confirm that he threatened to pull out, but he did say that his warnings to allies were firmer than they have been in the past. So, yeah, it was a messy one.
Yeah, he was asked whether he had threatened to pull out of NATO and whether he could do that on his own. He said he thought that he probably could, but quote unquote, that's unnecessary.
Yeah, that's not unnecessary because President Trump said he extracted a firm commitment from all allies, including Germany, most notable, that they will increase their defense spending to more than 2% of their economic output within a relatively short period of years. We don't have the details yet on what exactly does this mean. But that's what the president said. We know that Germany's defense plans up to today didn't include a pledge to reach the 2% target within the foreseeable future. We'll have to wait and see whether this has actually changed and whether the president has indeed extracted such a firm commitment.
Yeah, the president said that